Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in everybody. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Tyler Devin wants you to know how hard he is working. As he told us, hey, new opening day, guys. I went over there, yesterday? He was putting it together. He's producing. That's what he's doing. He's a producer, folks. So there you have it. Let's have some new ones when the Jags beat the Houston Texans this weekend, Tyler. How about that? Chock full of highlights this week, Tony. Do you think it'll be the case that the Jags say, you know what? Let's just play to our strength, which has been the passing game right now. Now, you got to keep J.J. Watt and Jadeveon and Clowney in check. You can't let them know that, you know, 8 out of 9 times you're dropping back and chucking the football. You've got to keep them honest to some degree. But sure. I don't know how much success they're going to have running the football with Denard just coming back. And now maybe Denard's going to be full capacity, right? He has been practicing in full. That doesn't always mean you're ready to take on a full workload. But if he can, maybe they'll surprise us in that department.
I suppose they could, and I suppose there's still the outside chance that T.J. Yeldon goes in this game, but it doesn't feel like that's the way it's trending for this team right now.
Even if he goes, how much confidence are you going to have in a running back with a groin injury?
I have more confidence in being able to put T.J. Yeldon out there if he's healthy enough to go for 8 carries and Denard Robinson for 15. Like, I like the idea of that more than I like the idea of, okay, Denard's our back and what else do they have? Like, if T.J. Yeldon isn't available in this game, because I don't think there's a whole lot else in this running game that you can trust right now. And Toby Gerhart just hasn't played well enough for you to put him out there and feel comfortable putting him out there. Now, we've been talking about Blake Bortles and the progress and the 10 touchdowns at this point this year. Well, there's a reason that Blake Bortles has had to throw 10, too. And it's because they haven't rushed for a touchdown yet.
Right.
I mean, it's been 5 games, and they haven't found a way to put the running game into the end zone. You wouldn't think that this is the week that that's going to change with the way things are looking. But I think that you have to have some kind of plan to do what you do well. And I think this being the first real week where you've had Julius Thomas all week, full go in practice, to really have a game plan where, all right, we're going to have Julius, we're going to have both Allens in this game as well. I think that they should be more pass-heavy with a game plan this week and try to figure out some way to mix in the run game a little bit.
So we'll talk about the game today as we get you ready for Jags and the Houston Texans coming up in a couple of days. John Osier will join us in about 30 minutes from Jaguars.com. Also, Chef Tim from Levy Restaurant stopping by today, Tony. I've got a rumor of what's on the menu, but I don't want to get your hopes up too high. So we'll see what happens about an hour from now as we'll preview some of the dining options here at Everbank as the Jags are back in town. You know, watching the game last night, if you did watch it, and I know a lot of people were probably watching the baseball or double dipping on it at least, but you couldn't help but immediately flash back to 2006 when Steve Gleason blocked the punt in the first game in the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina, and everything got cleaned up after they spent the year in exile in San Antonio, and they came back and Gleason blocked the punt, came against Michael Kanin of the Atlanta Falcons opposite end zone. Eerily similar last night with Michael Maudie blocking a punt, not for the first score of the game, but to put the Saints up 14-0, they'd go on to roll. And you know, look, that's a team, Tony, that I think a lot of people had written off very early in the season, quite frankly, and with good reason. They hadn't given you any kind of results. Drew Brees is not himself. Last night he threw for over 300 yards, but I'm telling you, I'm watching him starting about the two-minute warning of the first half, and he's kind of just rotating that right shoulder, grabbing his pads a little bit on that side. I think it's bothering him, not enough to really impact him last night. I don't know how good he is driving the ball down the field at this stage with that arm. But regardless, the Saints played like a desperate team. I think the Jags need to come out and have that sense of desperation this week as well. Even if you expect the Colts to lose on Sunday Night Football, which everyone does, to the New England Patriots, you've got to get your own wins right now and position yourself with the bye week coming up. You can still get this thing turned around. I'm not saying it's likely that it's going to happen, but if you can win this week, that's the only thing you can do. But if you do that, you got a Buffalo team that who knows what kind of shape they're going to be in next week. Tyrod Taylor may not even be available to play. He could play this week. He might be out for a few, and with the bye week coming up, they may hold him back. And E.J. Manuel, throughout most of his NFL career has been a very shaky starting quarterback. So the opportunity is there for the Jags. They've got to take advantage of it over the next 2 weeks.
I feel like we've been using that word a lot.
But it's there, Tony.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying.
I'm not trying to overhype what I don't expect them to get on a run, but look. Backs against the wall time.
Sure. Look, I'm not going to talk about it as an opportunity because I feel like they've already blown that over the course of
the
last 2 weeks.
They've blown a couple of them.
Now, that doesn't mean that there's not one going forward, but I think that when it gets into desperation time, I'm not going to be talking about, you know, the AFC wildcard picture. I'm not talking about AFC South picture. I'm talking about just find a way to win a game. I mean, that's it. I mean, forget the implications of what that does for this team in the big picture as far as within this season. Right now, I don't want to worry about that. I just want them to find a way to beat a bad Houston Texans team that comes in here struggling at this point in their season. It's getting really tired and old being the emotional springboard for the entire league. You know, where you are the team that every time they see you on the schedule, they're like, this is where we get healthy. This is where we start to feel right. We get to go play the Jags. Well, that whole storyline's getting really old and really tired, and I don't want to see it again this weekend against Houston. I think you saw them. They sunk Miami. Miami's done. You know, you lost to the Jags, and they couldn't find some way to just look themselves in the mirror anymore. They're firing their head coach. Everything's changing down there in Miami after that loss here in Jacksonville. We'll do the same damn thing to Houston. Why not? Leave them at 1-5 and sitting there going, what are we doing in this season? We got J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, and DeAndre Hopkins is a playmaker, and we can't find a way to win a game on the road against the Jags. Let them walk away saying that kind of thing this weekend and figure out where you stand after that.
I'm good with that. I am absolutely good with that. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010 is the number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Our fan feedback question of the day, same as it is every Friday. Give us your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. And, of course, you can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Share your thoughts with us on Week 6 of the National Football League, particularly when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll hear from Gus Bradley coming up shortly. We'll also hear from Bob Babbage meeting with the media yesterday. Gus from the Gus Bradley Show last night. We'll get into that coming up in just a few minutes. John Osier about 25 minutes away, and plenty of your phone calls throughout the next 2 hours. Welcome as well. It's Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Just kicking things off. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here. Jaguars Today live at Everbank. Claude Nolan Cadillac since 1905. The preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. Visit ClaudeNolan.com. Find out about the Claude Nolan Edge. Absolutely no dealer fees, finance markups. 4700 Southside Boulevard, the location. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. Claude Nolan Cadillac will take great care of you. 642-5111. The elegance, the experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. Build your lasting relationship by either visiting them on Southside Boulevard or logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Glad you're with us here as we look to put the stench of the last 3 weeks in the rearview mirror. And we'll look ahead to the Houston Texans today. Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show last night, weighing in on a number of issues. We'll get to those momentarily. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. It's also the text line, Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Keys to Victory Friday. That's what we're looking for. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the fan feedback spotlight. Some early ones. Keys to Victory. Contain J.J. Watt. I think that's certainly near the top of the list. Don't let DeAndre Hopkins get hot and keep mistakes to a minimum. Seems like a solid game plan there. From Jaguar Charlie, just win and baby. Those are his three keys to victory, Tony, early on. sure. I also love the ones that say score more points than the other team. And that's
a key every week.
Those are definitely keys every week. Absolutely. All right. Gus Bradley and the Gus Bradley Show last night with Jeff Loggeman talking about the defense. Not what they expected against the run last week. Not only the run game, but the short passes to both Charles Sims and Doug Martin had those guys running all over the place on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Gus talked about the defense giving up some of the big run plays in Tampa last week.
I think what it forced us to do, you know, sometimes you work on it in practice, but really when you look back at the run games, how many of those plays got to the second level? You know, I think that's where we looked at it and said, and for a variety of reasons, we had some missed tackles up front. And then when it got to the second level, this game more than any other is, you know, even though in training camp and practice you work on it, the actual game reps of tackling in space. I think that our guys are very capable of doing it, but we were a little rusty on it. And give credit to him, too, now. He's a good back. He's shifty. He made people miss. Some guys used the right technique and came up, and he's a pro, too. So, you know, I think it's a, you know, a focal point of ours to get back and really challenge ourselves to be better in space.
How do you get rusty when it's week five in the National Football League?
I don't know about rusty, but look, you can think back to 2 weeks ago in the game that Cyprian played and the game that Evans played, and their ability to come up in the run game and make tackles at the line of scrimmage. I mean, it was remarkable 2 weeks ago against Indianapolis, and nobody was making those plays.
No, they weren't, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, are they? How
I don't know how that goes away.
7 days
right.
prior.
I don't know how it goes away.
Right.
It's
sloppy.
Yeah.
And you know, ineffective, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, it's disappointing. In the end is what it is, and it costs you an opportunity to win a game down in Tampa. When look, you turn the ball over twice, one of them directly leading to points, the other one leading to a drive that led to points, and you don't get a turnover in a game where you score 31. You're basically playing from your own end of the field the entire game. You put up 31 points against Tampa Bay. You beat yourself by turning the ball over and not being able to tackle Doug Martin. I mean, that's what happened on Sunday against Tampa, and you give Martin some credit for forcing those things to happen. That move he made on Aaron Colvin was sick.
Right.
There on the left-hand side. But Gus last night on the Gus Bradley Show responded, Lagerman, which is something we talked about earlier this week with him on Tuesday, the plays that Blake left out there on the field, as Lagerman put it last night, Blake Bortles left meat on the plate. Gus responded to that.
Well, he needs to get better, right, Lugs?
Yeah.
I mean, it's never ending. And that's the challenge. And believe me, he's highly competitive. He wants to be his best. And, you know, he sees some things on tape. But, you know, I think I have a tendency to kind of say, well, he needs to be better. But you know what? Let's stop and reflect. He's doing some good things. You know, if you just take the time to look at the interceptions are down. He's making better decisions. He's playing with poise. He's, you know, it's five games into a new offense. So I see the things that are taking place there. And, you know, that's a challenge for him as well as everybody.
Hey, look, he's definitely getting better. There's no question about that. You look at the numbers are in stark contrast through five games to any stretch last year for Blake Bortles, Tony. And I think the thing he's learning to do is overcoming that turnover in the middle of the game. You know, it doesn't let him, doesn't put him into that kind of protective shell where he's afraid to take chances the rest of the game. We saw it with Josh Norman with the pick six in week one. We saw it to some degree, I thought, maybe in New England, although that was more a case of, I don't know if it really impeded Bortles, but it really just opened up the floodgates for the New England Patriots and
yep.
put them up 20-3 at that point. They'd score the first 10 of the second half, and Bortles did come back with a couple of touchdown drives, but at that point, the game was out of reach. But look, I think at the same time, we shouldn't sit here and say, wow, it's much better at the quarterback position than it's been in a long time, so let's overlook all the flaws. And as Gus said, he's got to get better, and Blake knows that. They watch the film every week, and the great players, I would imagine, when they're watching film, Tony, Tom Brady goes 28 for 30. He's probably looking at the two he threw incomplete more so than the 28 that he completed and what he can do. Could he have done something in that circumstance to make a play? Sometimes you can't. But there were, you know, whatever phrase you want to use, meat left on the plate or the bone or whatever the case may be, there were other opportunities out there for Blake Bortles to make plays.
I think the great ones, too, he's not just looking at the two incompletions. He's looking at the five he completed where he could have got 25 more yards on those plays.
Right.
If he got his eyes off this guy and got it to another guy, which is really what the issue was for Blake. When you talk about what he left on the plate, it was he threw into coverage when he didn't have to. When he had guys that, look, everyone, we've listened to fans complain about the offensive play calling through the first month of the season. He schemed guys wide open, just wide open on Sunday against Tampa Bay. And at times, Blake missed him. At times, he found him, but at times, he missed him.
Yeah, part of the improvement is what you just see with your eyes, the eye test. But part of it is the numbers. And Jeff Logman asked Gus Bradley about that, about the improvement from last year to this year in that category for Blake.
And like I said, that's great. Blake has improved. But it's also credit to the receivers are playing better. The offensive line's playing better. The running backs are doing better in protection. You know, so it's really the whole group. And that's why I think I'm at that point now, Logs, after the first couple of days. And now I'm looking back and saying, hey, you know, let's reflect on this. This is some good stuff here now. Let's build on this. And let's make sure that continues to grow.
Yeah, don't have that disappear this week, right? I mean, you've got to have that consistency. Just 2 weeks ago, Tony, it was 13 points that they were stuck on against a pretty average Indianapolis team. So don't be satisfied that, hey, you've turned a corner just because you hung four touchdowns on the board. It's a great performance, but now you got to start to stack some of those together.
No, you do, and we'll get back to some Gus Bradley here in just a moment, but DeRocco just tweeted out moments ago, T.J. Yeldon not at the walkthrough this morning for the Jags.
You got to assume he's inactive this week.
So that would certainly be another indication that he's probably not going to be available
for
the team.
Which makes sense because they just get Julius Thomas back to balance the scales, right? The football gods take
it away.
Sen's
been practicing all week, so they get Julius Thomas back. And Derek Marks looks like he's going to play this weekend for the first time, too. So you got to take something away.
Yeah, you would think, right?
It's just the way it works.
It can't all be good.
Arian Foster returned a couple weeks ago for the Houston Texans, but hasn't been very effective, at least not as a runner yet. He was pretty good as a receiver out of the backfield last week for Houston. But Gus Bradley was asked about what he looks like on tape. Is he starting to look like that old Arian Foster?
Yeah, I think that you're seeing him come back, though. I think, you know, the more I've watched him now, you know, I think as they're trying to bring him back slowly, probably similar like to Sendarek, you know, although a completely different injury, but, you know, he'll just keep getting better and better as soon as he gets a chance to play. And that's with Arian Foster. But I like the way they utilize him, getting him out of the backfield, some angle routes, and, you know, trying to get him one-on-one with the linebacker, and as well as the run plays. I think that you'll start seeing him get more and more carries.
All right, I want to go back to something Gus said a moment ago about the offensive line. The offensive line is playing better. Do you feel that way yourself, that the offensive line is playing better?
Better than last year, yes.
At times.
You know, and I think that it's, again, the moving target that we talk about, because I actually think up until this week they've been pretty good. You know, like, I don't think they've had a week where you're like, oh my gosh, the offensive line is the reason we can't get anything done
week. Right, and they still got stuff done offensively, but six sacks allowed and obviously not much going in the running game.
Sure.
Right?
I don't think they've been great. I think they've been good. Until last week, I thought the offensive line had been a decent unit for this team. And when you look at where they were in 2014, which was at the bottom of all these ranks, when you look at offensive line numbers, they were right there in the middle of the pack when you looked at all the important metrics for an offensive line. So I think that they had shown improvement. Last week was bad. And that's the last taste that we have of what's going on with this offensive line. I think it comes back to kind of that happy medium
it
for
needs
this team
to
this
week.
Week.
I mean, it definitely needs to. All right, where are we going? Is it me? Let's get to DeAndre Hopkins. We've seen has emerged as one of the top playmaking wide receivers in the National Football League. You wondered, could he handle the added attention from defenses with Andre Johnson moving on? He's handled it and more. You could argue his breakout really came last year. He had a 1,200-yard season, but he is playing right up there with Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, anybody you want to name at the top of the league. And Gus Bradley weighed in on the Houston pass catcher.
Yeah, he is. You know, the most targeted receiver in the league. You know, it really shows up on tape, too. But I've had a couple of injuries there with Nate Washington and Cecil was out. So that even directed more attention towards him. But, you know, sometimes they say a receiver, it takes a couple of years, you know, 3 years sometimes for them to really kind of get in a groove. And you're starting to see him get into a groove. And you're starting to see some maturity. And I think that, boy, he's got a really high upside. He really jumps out at you on tape.
Got great speed.
He does.
Great speed.
Becoming more polished as a route runner. And obviously they trust him.
Yeah, and they should with the way that he's playing and really has been for the last year plus for that football team. I'm curious to hear this answer from Gus Bradley when he talks about this being a resilient football team showing that they can recover.
I mentioned that in the press conference about this is a resilient team. I don't know if I could have said that before. I mean, here we are down 27. We score a touchdown, and then we come out in the second half. Right away, go down, score a field goal, and then then another touchdown. And then we had that one right there, you know, that one you were talking about at the end. But this team is showing qualities, the resiliency. We made a big push about quickly recovering. You know, if something goes not our way, not to let it drag on for quite a while, you know, to quickly recover and come back. And that's so important for a team that's trying to learn how to find out how to get this done. And so those are the traits that you're seeing that I'm pleased with. And that's, again, one of those strengths that we need to keep going and keep building as a team.
Well, that'll be meaningful to me if they can continue to put those performances together back-to-back. Because, look, they certainly didn't respond well after, as we said, in the opening game, the pick six kind of shut down the offense for the day.
Yeah.
New England punched them right in the face. And, look, I get it. They're a good team, but they didn't have any answer for that. And, you know, look, they were never out of it with Indianapolis, certainly, and they had their opportunities to win the game. I don't think you look at that game as one where they got really down, and this one really applies. And it did work, you know, in terms of they got down early, they battled back, took a lead, and had every opportunity to win the game this past weekend. But ultimately, it wasn't enough. So, you know, it's going to be more significant if some of those performances come in victory, obviously, and if they can do it on a more consistent basis. This team has to be able to feel like, you know what, we fell down 14-0. It's the first quarter. All right, we're going to get ours. We know we're going to get ours. That's the National Football League. How many times do you see it when the better team or the eventual winning team falls behind by a couple of scores in the first half and comes storming back to win? It's not the majority percentage of the time, but the Jags have to be a team that you've got to get beyond that mental hurdle of, uh-oh, we're down by this much, game's over, at whatever point in the game, doesn't matter, it is. I think the offense is starting to trend in that direction. That's a key factor in it. But they've also got to be better on getting big defensive stops in the second half, and that's happened at times, but it clearly didn't happen last week with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Coming up, John Osier is going to join us. We'll have more from Gus Bradley coming up a little bit later on, including a response to a caller last night asking how long does this process take in terms of putting a contender on the field for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's coming up and more as we'll talk with the senior writer from Jaguars.com. Coming up next, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Jaguars Today on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We welcome in the senior writer for Jaguars.com, Mr. Johnny O. What do you know, O-Nos?
I think Donna's throwing on a peppy little tune there.
Is that what she's doing?
Yeah.
Donna has
a little guitar lick.
I never met Donna. Had free reign to play any music she liked when she was my producer. I didn't really care. But once she discovered that I liked the song, man, she pounds that thing. All the single ladies were hanging around until they were married, divorced, and remarried.
I can see you being all single ladies,
hey,
guy.
Look, how can you not just watch Beyonce dance? I mean, Beyonce's phenomenal. Are you kidding me?
I learned a little something about you just now. I like that.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? You know, I mean, so Donna would find a song I liked, and then there you go. She has it right at her head. I didn't put my hand up like you're doing right now and wave it in the room, but I might as well have.
Sure.
All right, what do you think?
We're the dancers.
That's a great one. That's a great one. You're not an SNL guy, are you?
Yeah, I have been over the years.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't know every
the
classic.
The Justin Timberlake Beyonce skit where they were Timberlake and who Bobby Moynihan,
yeah.
and who else was it? Oh, it was Andy Samberg, right? They were the dancers, right?
I think it was Andy.
You know the Beyonce
video? Yeah, I've
missed
a lot of this there. Right, no, I'm not that hip.
You know the single ladies video where they're all in like dancing, what would you call that,
leotards,
a leotard, right?
I've probably seen it, yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's not ingrained in my...
All right, it should be.
Oh, okay.
Right. Should be. All right, let's talk Jag football with you, Johnny O. In and out, who's in, who's out? Start with T.J. Yeldon. No, little expectation that he's going to suit up, I would
guess. Yeah, I mean, I would expect he comes out... I expect him to be a game-time decision, and it doesn't feel like one that's predetermined. So I'll be waiting on Sunday not knowing, put it that way.
To me, groin injuries seem
like... I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
So easy to aggravate.
But if it was... Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if he's out there, just as I would have... But I sort of expected Pozlesny to play last week, and I was surprised when he wasn't. I'd be a little more surprised if Yeldon played, put it that way. I think he has less of a chance than Paul did last week, but that's just
Right, and that
agreeing with you on the nature of a groin.
Yeah,
I guess,
I mean,
more
and you know, groin injury could be a lot of different
sure.
things. But you know, for TJ not practicing all week, Gus has said that in and of itself is not enough to keep him out
right.
of the football game.
Because notably, it's interesting. I think some guys might be out, especially as rookies, because you would just think, look, we can't have this guy in a running back position going out and trying to function without practice. Everything you hear about TJ is that he's a really smart football guy, and they wouldn't worry as much about him not being able to do assignments based on not practice. He's that level of football readiness, whatever that is. So it's, you know, on that front, it's great. May not be great for this weekend.
What about Paul Posluszny?
I expect pretty much everybody except TJ, and then Marquise and Bernard Pierce and Sample. I expect everybody else to be gone.
Okay, because
would be my guess, just
Paul,
based
Paul
on the feel of all week.
You know, basically, barring something major setting him back at this point in time, the way he felt.
Yeah, he was close last week, and then I forget if it was Wednesday or Thursday. It may have been. Wednesday, he was very sure he would play, but he's an honest enough guy to say, yeah, I know I told you that last week, but I really feel like this week. And then yesterday, he did every football thing that he needed to do, and he said on Sunday he couldn't do that. So that was the difference, and he said, you know, he would be very surprised if he doesn't play, and so would I.
Denard Robinson's been practicing in full this week, so he's
yeah.
come right back with the MCL sprain.
And pretty remarkable. It seems like they rested him to a point where, because they had Yeldon, because until last week all the other running backs were healthy, they were able to rest him to a point where when he came back, he's ready to roll. You know, no limitations, no, you know, nothing in practice to indicate there's anything wrong. So he's been walking around to watch him walk and run. You wouldn't know he had been hurt. Now, I know your next question is, how does that affect Sunday? Is there a pitch count? Is there a snap count? Logically, you would say there is. In the circumstances they're in, maybe not.
Maybe not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Look, maybe Toby Gerhart will surprise us. We saw him at times, you know, in the preseason running like the Mack truck
yeah.
that we thought the Jags were getting in part when they signed him last year, but
it hadn't been there in the regular season.
It hasn't been there
yeah.
in the regular season, and we haven't seen that short yardage, you know, formation
no.
with Aluwalu and Gerhart, which was basically unstoppable when they used
yeah.
it. And
in preseason, and maybe looking
granted,
back, it was more preseason.
But you'd think it would still show up at some point.
One would have thought.
Right, at some point, because
yeah.
you haven't shown that you can't do it in the regular season. You just haven't really gone with it yet. So
right.
maybe the opportunity
well, he was hurt.
Hasn't been there.
Well, he was out
up.
The first couple. Yeah, so I mean, sometimes circumstance, we'll see. He certainly at times has shown the ability to do things well and help you, and every once in a while you'll go, okay, well, that could be a part of it, and then it sort of goes away. So
somebody
we'll
called in earlier, couldn't hang on the line, wanted to know about Corey Grant getting more touches despite the fumble last week as another alternative. He is other, you know, theoretically you're looking at Denard, Toby, and Grant being the
right.
only running backs active on game day.
Yeah, I don't think the fumble last week will, sorry to say this, Tony, but I don't think the fumble last week will influence how they use him. I think they have certain packages and certain things they want to use him with. I don't think you necessarily run him into a 15-carry guy unless you have to.
So kind of same usage,
yeah,
sprinkle him in here and there.
Right, because
try to mix in the speed.
Yeah, you know, he's a smallish speed back. You would think they try to use him in the same role. Now, if you're going in with just Denard and just Toby, and one of them gets hurt, then all of a sudden maybe Corey
sure.
Grant has to do something else.
I mean, circumstance could play
but
a role in that. But
I wouldn't think that was the game plan, to have Corey Grant running 18 times.
No, I don't think they were suggesting that. Just, you know, maybe a little bit more than usual. But I think Denard being a kind of guy who gives you a speed element,
right.
I think Corey Grant's value is as a change of pace is a little bit less.
Sure.
By the way, Tony, this is like political season. Tony picked up a big endorsement from the O'Halloran faction yesterday on the our Corey Grant, should he have been on the field.
That had to make you feel special.
But I countered
it's
with
still alive. It's 4 days later. This thing is still alive.
I countered with a Prisco endorsement on my side of it yesterday, so I feel like I'm back in good standing
yeah.
with Tony.
Yeah, I mean it. Yeah, in the past,
you almost threw the pot.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean it was. If you're gonna play him, play him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. All right. So Derek Marks looks like he will make his season debut this week.
Yeah, and much like Denard, has really come back this week, to my knowledge, with no limitation at all. Now, does that mean that he's 100% and that he's the Senderic we saw when he was really at his peak last year? That's probably not realistic. But in terms of how he prepared, in terms of what they asked him to do in practice, he evidently had a very good practice Wednesday, showed none of the hesitation or unsureness that he had showed the last week on Wednesday. He was really animated Wednesday before practice that he wanted to show that he wasn't worried about it, get through that mental thing. Evidently he did. So I'd be very surprised if he doesn't play. But I wouldn't expect, again, I wouldn't expect a 50 snap game from him.
No, which is high anyway. He played a lot of snaps last year,
right,
for his position. And I think ultimately they would have liked to have dialed that back a little,
sure,
bit this year anyway. So, you know, him coming into his first game after rehabbing the torn ACL, I think honestly, if he got 10 to 15 snaps,
right,
that would be a fine first step.
But what it could do, and it's been sort of talked about a little bit in Gus's press conferences and not really fleshed out a whole lot. Odrick's been playing a lot of snaps, probably more than they want him to play. I think he only missed one last week. Well, a reason for that is you would normally have Alualu and Odrick rotating.
Sure.
Well, Alualu's playing for Senderic, so it's harder to get Alualu over to Odrick's spot. Well, if Senderic comes back, then maybe you can move Tyson over for 10 or 12 snaps and get Odrick off the field and get him down to the snaps you want to get. So sometimes all of these things interrelate, and that's one time.
Would you expect Senderic, you know, is it an obvious passing situation kind of usage with him? I mean, because he's got the ability to penetrate, or do you think they just mix him in
I would
wherever?
Think they mix him in because, again, they like Odrick as a pass rusher in that spot as well. So it's not like, I don't think they're looking at their lightning package and thinking, man, if we only had Senderic.
I think a lot of fans are looking at it that way, though.
Sure.
You know, I don't think it's unreasonable to think, hey, you know what, if you're going to rush four, he's one of the best four. When he's 100%, he's definitely one of the guys you'd want on that field.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying he won't play in that. I don't think the coaches see it as a completely, we have been bereft at that spot as a pass rushing tackle without him. Odrick can do that and certainly is very good at that, at least at getting pushed up the middle. Is he the lightning quick defensive tackle with penetrating ability? No, but that essence is what put Senderic on the cusp of the Pro Bowl last year. So he's really good at that. When his ACL is completely right, then you definitely want him in that spot.
By the way, I just got in this tweet from Chef Jags. He says, I'd rather shove pencils in my ears than listen to Beyonce just saying. Here's the issue.
I thought it was going to be and listen to Onos.
I didn't read that.
That's next.
I didn't read it out loud.
That's his
anyway.
Facebook post.
Look, if you watch a single lady's video and you're listening to it, you're doing it wrong. Okay? That's the whole point of the whole thing. I don't care about the song per se as much as I care about Queen Bey.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. Game plan.
Starting
wise,
to get a bigger sense of the full picture.
I think Beyonce's attractive, like pretty much every red-blooded man in the world.
Down, boy.
Yeah, I'm saying, what? Yeah, that's all. Moving along. Game plan-wise, if you're without T.J. Yeldon, mm-hmm. if Denard Robinson is somewhat limited in the amount of reps you're going to give him, despite the fact that you've got the potential pass rush at J.J. Watt and company bringing
sure.
to the table, is this a game where you say, you know what, maybe we're going to put a little bit more on Blake Bortles. This is an aspect of our offense that has been clicking of late, and do we maybe throw it a little bit more than we typically would?
I think the temptation is there. At the same time, what you just said, I don't think you go to I don't think you emphasize it much more because you've already been emphasizing it a lot. And with J.J. Watt and Clowney, you don't necessarily want to expose that any more than you've been exposing it. I've heard some about, hey, get to the hurry up. Get more in that two-minute drill. And I think the temptation is there. At the same time, when you've got a defense that struggled last week, when you still got guys on defense who are trying to figure it out, you don't necessarily want to put yourself in a position to have three and outs, multiple. That's what happened against New England. They were three and outs so quick that it was tough for them to get reset on defense. So as tempting as what you're talking about might be, and as tempting as this is, that
chicken and waffles, yeah, baby, leave your restaurant, Chef Tim just popped in.
I don't know that you go full bore toward that because of the risk that it presents on defense.
Huh? Did you say something? It smells good. We'll get to that coming up in a moment. What do you have coming up over the next 48 hours at Jaguars?
Boy, those chicken and waffles came in, and you ended my segment like I didn't
let's
even
break.
Exist.
Hey, we're done.
It's
we're
like
done
you're watching
you.
The Beyonce
It happens
here.
To be the end of your allotted time today, John Osher.
No, we'll be updating the injuries, and we'll have Jags of the Round Table with J.P. Shattuck, Brian Sexton, and myself talking a little ball.
It's a can't miss.
Oh, it's well, it is. Anytime, people miss it.
Anytime
miss
the fellas get together. Oh, right. It's a shouldn't miss.
It's a shouldn't miss.
All right, John. John Osher, you can follow him on Twitter, of course, at John Osher, and read him daily at Jaguars.com and quite frequently here on Jaguars Today. Go eat.
Your mouth's watering right now.
Have
you're
some food, man. There's
you're
plenty
sad.
There for everybody. I'm not sad. We will get to that coming up shortly. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday coming back. This date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. We'll also check in with what they're serving at the old ballpark this weekend at Everbank. And chicken and waffles will definitely be on the menu. That's coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with you in a moment on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date in football history, October 16, 2005, San Diego Charger running back LaDainian Tomlinson ran for 140 yards and a touchdown. Not that significant compared to the rest of his career, but that was his NFL record 18th straight game with a rushing touchdown, which surpassed the mark that had been shared by George Rogers and John Riggins for a long time. And famous birthdays for this date include in 1961, Chris Dolman, defensive end, longtime Minnesota Viking, 8-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro selection, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2012. He turns 54 years old today. Cordell Stewart / NFL quarterback, wide receiver with the Pittsburgh Steelers, caught a lot of passes his first couple of years in the league, had a double-digit rushing touchdown in his career, and actually was a Pro Bowl quarterback one season as they tried to use him in a variety of capacities. He turns 43 years old today, and a brief Jaguar for a time, but more notably a Baltimore Raven, Jermaine Lewis, wide receiver, turns 41 years old today, born in 1974, Tony. When I describe to people how fast the game of the National Football League is at field level, I always remember a play. I remember two things. One was a play by Jermaine Lewis. Another was a play by Keenan McCardell. Back when you could go down in the last couple minutes of the game, all the media were allowed down on the sideline to watch a game.
Yeah.
And you see something on TV, and you can't appreciate the quickness. Jermaine Lewis had a guy squared up on him, and he went about 3 yards left and then shot straight past him, just like a little square. And it did it so quickly, the guy barely had a chance to make a move. I don't remember who the defender was at the time, but it was eye-opening to me. And then I remember Keenan McCardell catching a ball. It had nothing to do with the speed of the game, but the power and ferocity of the game. He caught a ball in the middle and got absolutely blown up. I mean, how is he going to be able to get up and walk again for the rest of his life? He pops right up, returns to the huddle. I look up and I watch the replay on the screen, which gives you kind of the look that you'd see on TV, and it just looked like a routine
right. Nothing,
you know. But you're there, like, 25 feet away from it, and you
sure.
just cannot believe the violence that takes place down at field level in the National Football League. That is this date in football history. It's presented this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They've got the Somnomed Custom Fit Snore Guard. Your loved ones are going to love you if you have a snoring issue. If anyone in your family does, send them over to Dr. McCall, 620-9225. Or if you're in the market for a family dentist as well, call Dr. McCall's office or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay is saying that he expects quarterback Andrew Luck to play for the first time in 3 weeks this weekend against the New England Patriots. The Colts are 2-0 in the last two games without Andrew Luck. Pittsburgh Steelers center Marquise Pouncey had to undergo a second surgery on his left fibula because of an infection around the metal plate that they inserted during the first surgery. Pouncey is expected to potentially miss the rest of the 2015 season because of that follow-up surgery. And Buffalo Bills wide receiver Sammy Watkins is speaking out about how he is being used by the team, saying that he needs to be targeted 10 times a game by whoever is playing quarterback for the Bills, and that the team and he look bad when the team doesn't do that. Watkins spoke to the Buffalo News and had the following to say, quote, "Everybody looks at you getting zero catches, 0 yards, but when you look on film, 90% of the time you're open. I understand that these guys are young. They need some time to trust me. Once we get that trust, it'll be different. That's what I get mad at, when I don't get looked at. I can look at film and his eyes go straight that way and I'm not getting looked at all. That's when I get frustrated. When I have one-on-one coverage, go to me. I don't care what's going on over there. I don't care if he's open. When I get one-on-one, just target me." The Jags, of course, play the Bills a week from Sunday over in London.
Yeah, oftentimes in the NFL, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, as in life. But I'd have one suggestion to Sammy Watkins. The way to get more targets would be to actually be active on game day and be healthy enough to play.
He's been out the last 2 weeks.
That would help if you're out there. You're not going to get any targets if you're sitting there on the sideline. I know guys get hurt, but, man, you're making me look bad? Really? I mean, that's the tack, and he's going to try to spin this. There was a national reporter who wrote the story, and, boy, what was the – I forget who it was, but Watkins tweeted at him and basically told him to grow up because he felt like the story was casting him in a bad light. Hey, if you don't want it to cast you in a bad light, don't say things like that where you come off as being selfish, where you got a team that's 3-2 right now. They're playing fairly good football.
Yeah.
And you seem like you're more concerned about your numbers. When you say, I don't care if the other guy's open or not, you have to throw it to me. I don't know if that's necessarily a team-first mentality.
Doesn't
out of
sound
Sammy
like
Watkins.
One.
So good luck with that, Sammy.
And considering they moved up in the draft to go get the guy, I mean, none of it looks good.
Well, nobody, they're not throwing the ball enough to give him 10 targets a game. Percy Harvin's averaging 6, and that leads the Buffalo Bills in targets on a weekly basis. So they're just not going to expand the offense to that degree. I don't believe at least the passing game to that degree. Let's expand our attention now to the food offerings that the Jacksonville Jaguars are serving up here in the U.S. Ashore Clubs this weekend. Chef Tim from Levy Restaurants brings us a platter full of goodness. What are you cooking up here this week?
Well, just today I brought you the chicken and waffles from Cowford's Chicken Shack in the U.S. Ashore Clubs. It's a little mini chicken waffle with a maple bacon slaw. You get two of them, and we do hand-cut fresh French fries in there, too.
You get two of these?
Yeah.
Tony's going for the full treatment thing, because that's number two that he's got in front of him right now.
And I may go for a third.
That's fine, and that's what they're there for. But so give us a ballpark. What's the price range when you order chicken and waffles?
$12 for two chicken and waffles and hand-cut French fries.
That's a pretty good – I'm telling you, if you walk away and you eat this entire meal – and you're not satisfied, then you're doing it wrong. Okay,
right.
you need to consider lap band surgery or something at that point in time, because that's a treat. How popular is this item?
Very popular. And you talk about the speed of the game. I mean, Tony took a left here real quick.
Right? I mean, is that Jermaine Lewis sitting across from me right now? It's unbelievable. But so pretty popular item, though.
Oh, yeah,
you know, just another one of the food outlets that you know the Jags make available. There are how many different ones? Do you know what the number is here at Everbank?
How many different
stands? Yeah, different establishments that you've got, you know, options that you've got.
At least between 20 and 30 different concepts throughout the stadium everywhere.
And, of course, within each concept, you've got multiple offerings and all that. So
yeah, there's something for everybody.
Definitely something for everybody. All right, Chef Tim, how difficult is for you to not get fat and eat your own creations all the time?
Well, I stay pretty busy, and this is a big building to walk around.
That's a good point. You know, every day you trek down here, or every Friday you trek down here and bring us a big platter of food, which we definitely appreciate. The waffles look delicious. Are they made from scratch? How do you do the waffles?
Oh, yeah, it's a malted waffle. We make them fresh every day for the games, and the bacon maple coleslaw on it really sets it off. I know you're not a big coleslaw fan.
Not a big coleslaw guy.
And then the crispy chicken on there. It's all good.
There you go. Beautiful, and one of the many selections Levy Restaurants is serving up to you here in the U.S. Ashore Clubs this weekend. Check them out. Give me the name.
Cowford's Chicken Shack.
Cowford's Chicken Shack is what it is. And order the chicken and waffles. Tony gives them as many thumbs up. He doesn't have any available thumbs right now because he's licking the chicken off of them right now. But he would give you two thumbs up. Chef Tim, we appreciate it, man.
Yep.
And so are the guys down the hall going to appreciate it when we invite him in for a little brunch here in just a few minutes.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for stopping by. What do you think? You feeling good, Jags, getting a W this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're looking good.
All right, let's hope so, man. We got to get this thing rolling in the right direction, get a little momentum as the bye week's coming up in a couple weeks. Chef Tim, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff. There you go. Calvert's Chicken Shack, the chicken and waffles, $12. Two massive pieces of chicken on a waffle sandwich, basically. And
yeah,
you get hand-cut fries.
Well, and they're serving comfort food in case things don't go well.
Hey, look, comfort food's good at any time,
oh, yeah,
Tony. Whether you're you need of a pick-me-up or whether you're very satisfied in victory, and it takes the edge off some of the adult beverages that you may be consuming on game day as well. So there you have it. Thank you to Chef Tim and Levy Restaurants for feeding us once again here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. When we return, we'll pick up where we left off with Gus Bradley. Also hear a little bit from Bob Babich yesterday, Jags defensive coordinator, talking about what's been going on with this team, including not being able to stop the running backs last week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll get to that coming your way next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. It's good to be loved, Tony. It is good to be loved. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line from the 904 area code. Like you two shills need free food. Oh, okay. There you go. Now, I guess, shills for what exactly? Positivity for the Jags? Is that what the implication is? We're just shilling for the team? Interesting. Someone who listens to the program not all that closely, apparently. All right, there you go. We don't need free food, but we appreciate it. It's called promotion in radio sometimes. You know what I mean? I don't think they're
excuse
not bringing
me,
it here just
to
feed us.
Finish my sandwich.
Yeah, finish your sandwich over there, Tony. He's working on number
and
four.
And then I'll continue.
Working on number four. All right, let's continue with Gus Bradley and pick up where we left off. I wanted to hear this response in particular as the Gus Bradley Show airs, of course, on Thursday nights from 6 until 7 o'clock here on 1010XL. Jeff Loggeman with Gus last night. And a caller called in and asked Gus Bradley, how long does this process take? In other words, you took over along with Dave Caldwell 2 1/3 seasons ago, let's call it, and we understand there's going to be some growing pains, and you know, but at the same time, going into the season, Gus Bradley said before the year, it's built, which I think raised a lot of people's expectations for the timetable. So asked, how long does the process take? This is Gus Bradley's response last night.
It's a great question. You know what, process is a word I think every team is going through. It. New England has a process, and they continue their process. So I think what you're looking at is, when are we going to start seeing the results we all hope for? And it's a great question. I think that you look at it and you see, hey, are we improving? Are we doing things right as far as being more disciplined? Are we, you know, are you seeing resiliency? Are you seeing them quickly recover? Are you seeing them playing hard? Are you seeing these things? And you're building these traits to where week in and week out you're having success. And those traits are coming. Now, when will it come? I don't know. You know, hopefully this weekend. But our focus has got to be to make sure to stay on those things, keep those our strengths, and then act on our weaknesses, get those things cleared up, and then we trust that the results will come. And, you know, that's a good question. And I think that as these guys develop and you see them coming along, and we just got to make more plays. And, Logs, as you know, this game sometimes is 4 or 5 plays. Well, right now it's 3 plays on offense and 4 plays on defense and 2 plays on special teams and, you know, those things. And that's what the game of the NFL is like. And I think we've got these things building, but we need to make more plays. Plain and simple. And not big plays. Just make more of the
just
plays we're capable.
Make more plays.
That's right.
Make more plays that are there for the taking.
That's right.
My only issue with that would be, I think every team, win or lose, comes out of a game thinking they could have made more plays as well. I'm sure the Tampa Bay Buccaneers felt like they left points on the table. Whether they did or not, we don't know last week, but I'm sure they felt like they didn't play a perfect game, Tony. And, you know, ultimately, I think Gus gave the best answer he could possibly give in that circumstance. You can't promise a time when the whole thing is going to come to fruition. He said, I don't know. You know, and is that good enough to keep you employed forever? No, it's not. But for right now, it's an honest answer. He doesn't know when all this process that it goes through. I didn't, you know, you don't need to go down the Patriots path. The Patriots process was this. Drew Bledsoe got hurt and Tom Brady took over. And since then, they've been a dominant franchise because they have a Hall of Fame quarterback at the helm. Now, could Blake Bortles turn out to be that guy? possibly, I'm not saying he's going to be Brady-esque. That's a lot to ask. But could he be a perennial all-pro type quarterback? I mean, he's showing signs this year that maybe he's going to head down that road. But ultimately, all that's great. And we understand that the process, Gus Bradley believes in it, that it's going to ultimately lead to victory. But that's what it's got to lead to sooner rather than later. I don't know what that timetable is. And I don't know what Shad Khan's expectations are and what Dave Caldwell's expectations are as far as when those wins need to come. You know, and every fan is, it's up to them to make up their own mind about whether or not they're proceeding at the pace that they want them to.
Whatever the process is, it should have led to victories against Indianapolis and Tampa Bay, at least one of them, if not both. I mean, and I think that's the frustration of the fans. So, you know, they can continue talking about, you know, you got to find a way to work the process and continue to develop these traits. And look, I don't completely disagree with that statement from Gus Bradley. I don't think the results have been what they should be in 2015 for this football team to this point. And that's why the questions about this process are being asked by fans right now. It's about the results they're not getting when they feel like they're far enough into this process that they should be.
Don't try to give back the shill label now that you've eaten both chicken and waffle sandwiches, all right? You can't go down that road now. I agree with you. And that's ultimately part of why some of the fans are upset. They keep hearing about, you know, the process and the learning and all the different things that
I think there's something to that, but
I agree, and that's if you believe in that, like Gus Bradley clearly does,
right?
You're not going to just turn away from what your beliefs are,
right? It rings hollow for fans if they're not seeing those results on Sunday. Look, I think that you can look at where the team is now compared to where it's been the last couple of years, and it's pretty clear that there's improvement on this football team. They are better than they've been because they're in these football games. And that's not something that you could say for the most part over the course of the last 2 years. They haven't been in all these football games. You certainly haven't felt like there's been any game that they played that's like, they should win this game. Like, there hasn't been much of that at all. Maybe Tennessee the last couple of years. That's it, right? But you had a couple games the last couple of weeks where it's like, they ought to win this game. Like, you just look at it and you say, they ought to be able to win this football game. I think they should win this football game.
Right, not ought to be able to. They should win this football game.
And you had Indianapolis beat, and you found a way to lose that football game.
Creative ways.
And you found a way to give Tampa Bay the opportunity to win that game on Sunday, too, instead of just playing a solid game of football and putting yourself in a position to win one or both of those football games. So when you start talking process and all these things that – it's easy to buy into that stuff in July for football fans. It's a lot harder when they're seeing the results of 1-4 and how you got to this particular 1-4 to believe in whatever process you're trying to preach at this point. It's just the way it is. One last cut from Gus Bradley. Talking about Allen Hurns, we all know how much Logs loves Mr. Hurns, but talked about him being a leader and acting like a veteran on this very, very young football team.
Hurnsy is so competitive. I told you, I don't know if it was here or somewhere else, about the, you know, sometimes you need that veteran presence in that room, a guy that they can kind of look to and know how to practice and be a true pro. Well, we don't have that veteran guy, but we're fortunate. We've got a young guy that is already a pro. And the way he practices and the way he goes in the meeting rooms and takes care of his body. So I feel very fortunate about Allen Hurns' development.
Allen Hurns has been certainly a bright spot really since he got here with this football team.
No doubt.
You know, leading receiver as an undrafted rookie, no matter what the totals were. When you lead an NFL team in receptions as an undrafted rookie or receiving totals, you know, yardage production, all that stuff, that's pretty remarkable. And he's taken it up a step. This year, he's gotten better. You know, it's not just a flash that, hey, this is a guy who stood out in a group that wasn't very experienced or wasn't very good. He looks like a guy that, as the team continues to get better, he's going to continue to do that as well, and he's going to be a big part of the reason why they continue to get better. He has, I don't think, come close to peaking yet with his NFL potential. So certainly earning a lot of praise this year. That's Gus Bradley from the Gus Bradley Show last night here on 1010XL. Also, Bob Babich, Jaguars defensive coordinator, spoke with the media yesterday. And again, I thought a pretty interesting question here. He was asked, at this point in the year, what are you doing well defensively? Here's what Babich had to say.
Well, I mean, obviously last week we were very disappointed in the performance that we had. I mean, nobody was pleased with that. You know, before that, though, we had done some good things. Well, the previous game, you know, against Indy. The defense did some good things, but, you know, consistency is something that we're striving for, and we just got to keep working through it. The guys had a great practice today.
What's the identity of this Jaguar defense? Or do you think they want it to? I guess they want it to be have four guys be able to control the point of attack, right, and allow your guys to play aggressive man on the outside and all that.
I think once Fowler went down and you kind of lost that key cog to improve the pass rush aspect of things, you look at, you sign Audric, you sign Scooter, those are both strong side guys. You're thinking that those are guys you're bringing in because you want to be really tough against the run and be able to stop that up with what you have up front. So I think that is what they want the identity of this football team to be, at least this season. And for the most part this year, it has been. They had a really terrible game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we're all looking to see if they're going to bounce back this week against Houston and Arian Foster now going into his third week active for the Texans. Bob Babich also talked about being disappointed in his third down defense.
It's very disappointing. You know, our third downs, we're disappointed in our third downs, and we just need to make sure that we put our players in position to make plays, and there's several different things, and obviously I'm not going to go into detail that, you know, we're looking at doing. And, you know, we hit 1-0 blitz last week, which was, you know, that worked out pretty good. And, you know, there were some other things. I think they were 2-for-9 or something like that going into the fourth quarter, so, you know, we just didn't maintain it.
And we talked with John Osher earlier about Jared Audric practically not coming off the field last week, and that's not a role you envision for any defensive lineman. That is a group that is going to rotate out to some degree to keep those guys fresh, to be able to play with that high burst of energy on every snap. But it is a position that he plays that is difficult to quantify, because by its nature in the Jaguars defense, he's not supposed to rack up sacks. Now, if he does, that's great. If he makes some plays like he did against Miami, it's kind of gravy, because his job is really to open things up for other guys, be strong against the run, occupy blockers, and let other guys run free to the football. So you're not going to be able to just look at the stat sheet and necessarily tell whether Jared Audric is playing well or not. I found it very interesting, Tony, that on Monday when we said, look, is there a guy that you think is playing particularly poorly enough that you would try to move on from them, that Audric got votes, that people were ready to move on from Jared Audric after five games here in a Jacksonville Jaguar uniform. And I don't think that's been the case. But Bob Babich was asked to describe his play and evaluate it to this point in the season. Here's what he had to say.
Jared's done a good job. I think he played a lot last week. He had a lot of snaps, and he's really a physical player, and he's working hard to do what we ask him to do. That's been very, very impressive. And, you know, the Miami game obviously came up with some big plays on the last drive. So, you know, he's done a very good job for us.
What's your sense of how Audric has played?
Fine.
He's been right. I'm sure he's had some bad plays where he's been victimized by, you know, an offensive line or
sure,
whatever, and that's going to happen. But overall, to me, he hasn't stood out like a sore thumb or anything like that. That's
there hadn't been much, like, in a game where I'm like, doggone it, Audric. Like, there hasn't been that kind of moment for me watching. I think there's been plays where I'm like, yeah, he could be better there. You know, there's been some of that. I don't think he's been great by any stretch, but I think he's been fine.
No, I don't know if that position allows you to know if a guy's being great. You know what I mean? Unless you really are watching the film and seeing if he's handling some of those, the more mundane responsibilities, again, that are not going to show up in the stat sheet. Look, the Jags have won one game. He came up big in that one win.
He did.
So, he definitely gets some credit for that performance against his former team in Miami.
Yeah, thought he was really good against Miami, thought he was really good against Indy, and I just haven't noticed him being really bad to this point in 2015. Bob Babich, one last comment for him, talking about gap responsibility, specifically in reference to playing a guy like Arian Foster, who's been so dynamic with that one-cut ability to get upfield.
Gap responsibility and tackling is very important. I mean, you know, it's an emphasis for us this week. And, you know, Arian, I think this is his third game back. And he, you know, he's just going to get better as, you know, coming off the injury. So, you know, we expect him to get better. I think his yards per carry were not very good, but he had a lot of receptions and a lot of yards in receptions. But he's a guy that they look to, and he's a bell cow for him. So, you know, we have to be prepared for him.
And you got to make tackles when they present themselves. 23 missed tackles last week. Arian Foster will eat you up.
Yikes.
You know, and look, I agree with Bob Babich that he's going to round more into shape. Full practices this week for Arian Foster. He had been limited even last week when he played pretty extensively against Indianapolis. Looked, you know, had to leave for a brief spell to get checked out for a concussion, but he apparently passed whatever testing they gave him and was able to come back in the football game. So you got to take a heavy dose of him, and I do think he can hurt you. We know he can hurt you coming out of the backfield catching the football. Jags got hurt in part by that this past weekend. I got to believe that, you know, look, you got two guys to shut down, but that it's easier said than done. There are a lot of teams that would love to start with two playmakers like DeAndre Hopkins and Arian Foster. So, you know, Brian Hoyer's definitely got some weapons to lean on here. I think he's got more than he had when he came in with Cleveland last year. That's for sure. And he played really poorly against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a little bit from your defense coordinator Bob Babich, as well as Gus Bradley, as we wrap up your little audio portion of Jaguars Today this morning. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. Absolutely no dealer fees. It's part of the Claude Nolan edge. Visit ClaudeNolan.com or stop by, even better yet, at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take phenomenal care of you at Claude Nolan Cadillac. 642-5111. That is the number for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. When we come back, fan feedback spotlight today, asking you, as we do every Friday, for your keys to victory. What do the Jags need to accomplish if they're going to pull off their second win of the season when the Houston Texans come calling at 1 o'clock on Sunday? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, final 10 minutes of the program. XL Primetime coming up at the top of the hour as we get ready for the weekend. You have high school football tonight, Tony?
I do, and it's a big one, actually, for the Eagles. Episcopal going over to Providence in a district contest. They're in a 14 district, so they play a 10-game schedule, but really only three games count when everything is said and done to determine whether or not they'll get into the playoffs. They beat Duval Charter a couple weeks ago before the bye week. They play Providence tonight, and nobody in the district is going to beat Trinity Christian. So, essentially, tonight is a playoff game for the Eagles and Providence over there on the campus of the Providence
School.
Winning,
you're in.
Yeah.
Basically, is what you're telling me. All right, we'll have that tonight for you on 1010XL. As we get ready for the fan feedback spotlight here momentarily, a couple of quick hits before we do. Hayes Carline of the Florida Times-Union tweeting out just a little while ago, some of the Jaguar injury status for the weekend. So Derek Marks officially probable for the game, which indicates that he is a virtual certainty to suit up for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yay.
Yeldon's questionable.
Oh, boo.
Just going to come down, I guess, how he feels in pregame warmups. Maybe you'll see him, maybe you don't. There's no telling at this point in time. Meanwhile, James Sample is doubtful. And shock of shocks, Marquise Lee is out for this game, Tony.
And it's been funny watching on Twitter the reaction to Lee being called out again. Like, Hayes and all the guys who tweeted that out are getting the questions, is he ever going to play this season? Is Lee going to play another snap?
Should we cut him
right
now?
It's like, and look, it's probably not going to happen until after London. You're looking at after the bye week, we'll see where Marquise Lee is.
And Bernard Pierce also ruled out for the Jags for this week. I don't know if he ever got, I don't think he got on the field at all this week, right? I would assume he's still in the concussion protocol, so wish the best for a speedy recovery for Bernard Pierce, but that's a look at some of the key guys injury-wise. Is Blake Bortles' first name not what I think it is?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Blake.
Is it Blake? Are you sure it's Blake? It's not like something else. Like
isn't Googled it Robbie him. Or Robert or something like that?
Are you kidding now, or are you?
No, I saw someone ask him on Twitter, why don't you like being called Robert?
Oh, is that what it is? Is it Robert? Because the reason I bring it up, and it may be because I tried Googling to find out if that were the case. We don't know that. I'm not sure. But you look at the official NFL.com injury report, and they don't go by nicknames on the injury report. So for the Jaguars, you know, this is more of yesterday's injury report. Did guys participate in practice tonight or that day? Marquise Lee did not participate in practice. Bernard Pierce did not participate in practice. James Sample did not participate in practice. Timothy Yeldon, for instance, did not participate in practice. So TJ, Timothy, Robbie Bortles, full participation in practice. Maybe can you, I don't know. Go by, it's not that strange of a name. I don't know if it's a program that does that on NFL.com or not, but just continued lack of respect for the Jacksonville Jaguars and the 904 area code shown by the people in the National Football League. That's all right. We'll get you. We'll get you. It's going to come, and it's going to be sweet. All right. Today, Tony, Fan Feedback Spotlight, which it is every Friday, we ask you for your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Before we get to the Fan Feedback Spotlight aspect of it, I think everybody's going to feel that you should feel that one of the keys, whether it's one of your top three or not, is don't let J.J. Watt have a, you know, highlight game where he just wrecks the game for you and he's all over the field and the announcers are calling his name. The Indianapolis Colts, I hope they studied the film. I'm not sure what exactly the Colts did other than put multiple bodies on him, but they really shut down J.J. Watt in that game, and he wasn't much of a factor, and which is a good thing for them because Matt Hasselbeck doesn't have a whole lot of mobility left. Blake Bortles has a lot more, but I don't want him running for his life this week. That's got to be a big one there. I don't know if they can have balance on offense this week. I don't know if they're going to be effective running the ball with either less than 100% T.J. Yeldon or Denard Robinson coming off injury or a guy who's been pretty ineffective up until this point and Toby Gerhart. Those are your top options, it seems, this week. What are you looking at, Tony, as one or two of your top keys for this game?
I think it's slow down Arian Foster. I don't think you can allow the Texans to feel real comfortable with their run game, and then hopefully find some kind of way to manufacture some pressure on Hoyer at times. I think DeAndre Hopkins is a skilled enough guy that he's going to get his to at least some limited, you know, degree, right? You saw last year this Jaguars team, they basically held down Antonio Brown. When he came here, they basically held down Odell Beckham Jr., and that's when he was as hot as you can possibly be when the Giants came to town. They basically held him down here. I think they've shown an ability, at least at home, to slow down the guys who come in seemingly as hot as Hopkins is with this Houston team. So I think they're good enough at the cornerback position that they may be able to limit the damage that a guy like Hopkins can do. But you can't let there be a game where it's Hopkins and Foster getting you, because then you're in a lot of trouble. And I don't think there's anything else in the Houston passing game that has to scare you right now.
At all.
Outside of Hopkins. So, and I think,
God forbid you let something else in the passing game get off this weekend.
Sure. And I think offensively, it's about seeing what it looks like with Julius Thomas really in the offense for the first time and having a game plan where you knew all week he was going to be a part of it. And to combine that with how well your two young receivers are playing, I'm really curious to see what it's going to look like on the field on Sunday. But to me, it's about you can't let for the second week in a row the opposing running back in that running game determine the outcome of this game. You got to slow down and stop Arian Foster. That's number one for me.
All right, Fan Feedback Spotlight was asked that today. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. And what kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar. Number one, offense plays well, see week five. Defense plays well, see week four. And special teams plays well, see week two. From Eric, block Watt, limit the mistakes, and let the bomber fly. From Joey, stop Hopkins, stop Foster, stop Watt, stop losing. From Jason, keep Blake clean, throw early, feed Denard once you spread them out. Hashtag Team Gus. From Adam, keep Watt in check, protect Bortles, and don't make Hoyer the hero. Hashtag not a paying customer. Hashtag DirecTV has my money. From Chris, shut down J.J. Watt. Number two, give JT 80 the ball in the red zone, and three, tackle slash get to Hoyer. From John, pass to set up the run, blitz and limit the middle mistakes, so easy a kindergartner could do it. And from Casey, try to stop JJ Watt, reduce the middle errors, and score touchdowns.
That wouldn't be bad. We'll take that. Here on Facebook, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, Dustin Smith said, simple, I play as many Texans as possible on my fantasy team, that way they won't do anything, says a bitter and disillusioned fantasy owner. And then he adds, hashtag switching to FanDuel. Should have done that a while ago. Use promo code Mike and then play against us at FanDuel.com/Mike. That's right. Free plug right there. Theo said the two Allens, Robinson and Hearns, need to keep up their play, need to handle Watt and Clowney, and don't let them be factors, and don't let Hoyer look like a top-notch quarterback. Another Dustin, this one, Dustin Cowgill, said, just try to keep Watt and Clowney off of Blake. Go Jags. Do your job. Don and Fuego, Blake and the Allens, continue the positive momentum. Don't kill drives with penalties, sacks, or 2-yard Toby. and tackle the person with the ball, forcing them to drop said ball. If you force them to drop to said ground, I'd be fine with that, as long as you're sure tackling this week. We'll take the turnovers if they come. Adrian Jackson, play on offense the way they did last week, play on defense the way they did in weeks one and two, and play on special teams like, well, like they've never played on special teams before, says Adrian. And then finally, Christopher said, protect the passer. Pozlesny plays and please that Pozlesny plays and pray would be his third one. So there you have it. I'm sure the Texans have plenty of people praying for them as well, although Arian Foster apparently will not be one of them. Right?
Apparently not.
And
no.
That seems to be the case. So
no.
As you sit here on Friday with a little over 48 hours, I guess 49 hours-ish to go. I feel like Hacker. I'm counting it down. In 49 hours and 11 minutes, who you got on Sunday?
I can't pick.
I'm not either. I'm not either. I want them to on Monday say nobody believed in us. Fine.
That's fine.
Prove us, please. Prove us wrong.
I just can't make myself pick them. So Houston, something nasty, something like 17-16 or something silly.
Nobody wants to see that game.
No, I don't either. You know, it's remarkable. We've been doing this show all week. How little we've talked about J.J. Watt. I mean, it really is. And I think it's because
quiet last week
there's so many issues with what this team is dealing with that it's almost like this afterthought as far as how they actually match up with whoever they're playing. It's like, can we just get out of our own way for a week? Because you don't feel like other teams have been outplaying them the last couple of weeks. You feel like they've gotten in their own way of finding ways to win. And, yeah, J.J. Watt was quiet last week, and I'm listening to people say he's having a bad season. He's got four sacks
in
five games.
He's got four sacks in five games, which is
most guys, that's good.
Yeah, that's a Pro Bowl type season for
J.J. has just been so exceptional that he has a down week, and he gets forgotten.
Well, and we know that they come in droves with him. He'll have that string of multiple sack games that will get his total back up. Don't let it start this week. Let it be somebody else's issue to deal with in week number 7. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by today, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. Thanks to Chef Tim with Levy Restaurants bringing us all the yummy goodness, the chicken and waffles today. And thanks to Cardinal and Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars today as well. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up with Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig. That's next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip. Woo!
Duval.